So there it is. We have just been eliminated from the Champions League by Real Madrid. 0-0 on the night, 3-1 on aggregate. They will advance to the semifinals. I can't say that this one is entirely unexpected. I felt like that first leg, I'll be honest, I mean, I don't want to get too much into the fact that we just didn't lay a glove on them. You know, I personally feel that it started in the midfield, and I like Wijnaldum. I think he's a good player. I think that he's had very, very significant moments, as we all know, for Liverpool. But there was no bite in the midfield, and therefore we lost our shape often. And, you know, the goal for Vinicius is simply Toni Kroos getting a chance to pick him out. And, of course, we see the continuation of that in this match, but not to the same degree. We came out. We were actually on the front foot. We were aggressive. We actually challenged them. We were snapping into 50-50 balls. You like to see that. But this match, we created several opportunities and several very, very good opportunities. But we ended up not finishing our chances. Wijnaldum has a chance. These are early chances. Salah has another chance. And, you know, combine that with his miss in the first leg of this tie, you know, we had opportunities. And the truth of the matter is it's Real Madrid. You know, they are the old master of this competition for a reason. You know, they, if it's the dark arts, then they do it well, and Ramos didn't play either leg. I think that they are a much better team than maybe everyone was giving them credit for. I know the aging midfield was a topic, but the truth of the matter is we got at them this game, and we created many opportunities. And even if you score one of those, we've seen it that, you know, I know there's obviously no fans. I don't want to get into that. It is what it is. But that early goal, it changes the complexity of the game. The complexion of the game. I'm sorry. It changes the complexion of the game. And it really just puts them on their back foot. I thought that, of course, when Thiago came on and Jota came on, again, the 4-2-3-1, it looks like it makes sense. It looks like it'll give us that 15 minutes or so of control. And that was great. You know, we needed that. And thankfully, we got it. But we still weren't able to score. And I don't want to break down this game too much just because I feel like we know the reasons why it happened. And unfortunately, the bigger problem for me was I expected this game to go this way. I expected us to be fairly tame, and we were. You know, we had several opportunities, but I don't think we tested Courtois nearly as much as we should have and probably could have. With those two goals hanging over us the entire game, it always felt like we were going to struggle to get them back. To be honest, I thought that Casemiro, of course, played well, as he often does. We were able to press Kroos and Modric some more to force them into mistakes. But even with that being said, we never really felt like taking the game completely. We had a good 15 minutes here, a good spell there. I thought that Trent was much better defensively. I think that that's the new thing, so to speak, to criticize Trent Alexander-Arnold's defensive skills. And it's not the new thing. It's been going on for a while. But I think he's actually a competent defender, and he's much better than people actually give him credit for at that. Does he need to improve? Of course. But he's a young player, and I believe still one of the best. So now the question is, where do Liverpool go from here? And I just want to say a couple of takeaways and observations that I got from that game. Liverpool have gotten the most out of the current talent available. And I think that really shows up in the midfield, and I'll tell you why. Jordan Henderson is... I mean, what Liverpool fan doesn't appreciate Jordan Henderson, even though not every, again, he's one of the players that not rival fans won't appreciate. Not everybody can see what he does. But he's always had injuries that would keep him out for a couple weeks at a time, a couple months at a time, heel, hamstring, thigh, all of those type of injuries. And we lose so much when he's not on the pitch. We lose so much continuity when he's not on the pitch. I mean, can you imagine how spoiled we were when Virgil and Henderson both played to really just keep the team, keep the shape, keep everyone pressing, you know? When Trent isn't in position, Virgil will yell at him. I've seen Virgil yell at Joel Matip and Joe Gomez, like all the way to Thiago. It didn't matter for him, and obviously that's what you love. So we need to sign a Jordan Henderson replacement, right? And I think that somebody like Basuma from Brighton, I know he's become a kind of a sought-after player in recent months, but I've always thought he was very good, very dynamic, quick, technically proficient, a good pass, you know, gives you something like what Wilfred Ndidi would give you, but maybe with a little bit more of an eye for the pass and a bit of attacking-minded flair. But he also gets back and he tackles and he'll screen, and you could probably put him in the 8 or the 6. Another player that I think should go, because I'm just going to focus on the midfield right now. So another player that I think needs to head into the midfield is someone like Douglas Luiz from Aston Villa. I think he's a fantastic player. And I think that we need legs in the midfield because, let's face it, Naby Keita, this was his chance, really. I think in Jurgen's eyes, and I mean probably, you know, in the eyes of a lot of people. You know, we waited a year for Naby Keita to land. 50 million pound player, you know what I mean? And it's just not happening consistently for him. He's one of the frustrating players because we've seen how good he can be. We've seen the long-range goals. You know, we've seen that kind of dynamism. But he was a big part of that first leg collapse against Real Madrid in the Champions League. Just, you know, it's strange. I remember writing in my notes, Naby Keita looks so small out there at times. And that's not, you know, and I don't really necessarily mean his height or his stature. I just mean he doesn't impose himself in midfield by keeping the ball, you know, being the person who will receive it in the tight spaces. He doesn't stamp his authority in the game enough. Him and Wijnaldum, I say good Ginny or bad Ginny. Good Ginny in the midfield is someone who's a willing runner, someone who is going to press, someone who is extremely good with the ball. Ginny doesn't, you know, if you give it to him, he'll find a good place for it. You know, he's very, very press resistant in that way. But bad Ginny is, yes, you can give him the ball, but he will not play a forward pass to save his life. Or, yes, he can be the extra man running from midfield, but he will not get a shot on target to save his life. And it's funny because he goes away to Holland, international duty. Wijnaldum is scoring all sorts of goals. You know, Wijnaldum is playing in a 10, you know, advanced position or an 8, and he's scoring a ton of goals. So it's just an interesting dynamic, but with him probably leaving, Henderson getting up there in age, Milner getting up there in age, Naby Keita injury prone, Oxlade-Chamberlain injury prone, you know, that's a good starting 5 players that are all either older or injury prone or both, right? And I mean, having a good defensive midfielder like Fabinho, we've seen what he can do, but he's going to need help, right? And then if we want to look at the defense, Ozan Kabak, Nat Phillips, I think that we should get Nat Phillips' value up and then sell him. $20 million, that would be an awesome catch for us, especially coming out of the pandemic situation. Shout out Redbird Capital, shout out LeBron James. I can't wait. I'm going to play this when we meet, and it's going to be really funny. Anyways, I really just felt like they are decent defenders, the pair of them, right? Don't get me wrong. And everybody likes Nat. Old school defender, gets his head on it. Kabak has the occasional eye for a crossfield ball or a switch. But they don't really fill you with confidence at this level. It's all good going to play Arsenal, right? Or Sheffield United, right? It's all good to be able to do that. But these are, you know, Karim Benzema has 3 Champions Leagues himself, you know, or, you know, 3 or 4. And they're experienced at the highest level. You know, I said Real Madrid, they're the old master. And it's like when you have, I don't know, I used to watch Samurai Jack when I was a kid. And it's like when you have the old evil creature that lives in the woods that you have to go and slay. But it's going to be difficult because they've been in this wood for 300 years. They're experienced, they're wily, and they got the drop on you. You know what I mean? In other words, they saw you before you saw them. But I personally think that I'm indifferent on Kabak. I mean, I think 18 million is about the going rate for a young center back. I mean, he's a Turkish international. He's in the first team. He's starting. So I wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, we've seen this year that center back depth is a great thing to have. So I wouldn't be opposed to that. And then we go on to the much maligned Trent Alexander-Arnold, right? Imagine the PFA Young Player of the Year, Premier League winner, Champions League winner, assist record breaker for the league, back-to-back years. You know what I mean? Imagine him being criticized. And I get it. People like to pile on Liverpool. It's okay, you know. But the truth of the matter is he could definitely use a break at times. And I think that maybe a contributing factor besides all of the other things that have been going on, I think that maybe Trent could use a break. And I think that maybe if we could have got him that, his form might have continued on, you know, from what it had been, because injuries here and there, then you have the COVID, you know, so I understand that. And then you have Rabo, Arsenal fans had the nerve to try and say that Kieran Tierney is better than Rabo, even though I really like Kieran Tierney. It's a shame he's injured for the season. He's one of the few players in the Arsenal team with actual character. Anyways, shots. But you have Tsimikas, who's supposed to be the backup there in that situation. Nico Williams, you know, I'm just talking about right and left back, and I'm like, none of them fill you with any confidence. Tsimikas, I think I've seen him play 4 times total since he's arrived, so I have no idea really what type of player he is, whether it's been injury or and you know, this is a player that arrived with some profile. He won the award for the best young Greek player. There's a video of him and Shaqiri, Shaqiri presenting him at that award. So, you know, a very highly rated player. He just hasn't been able to crack the starting lineup, and only Jurgen knows why that is, right? So I would love to see, we're also courting the RB Leipzig center back. The name escapes me in the moment, but for that 40 million price tag. And again, I wouldn't mind that, and I wouldn't mind keeping Kabak as well, because again, we need that depth there. And also, and this is maybe a pipe dream, a player that could fill in, you know, Jurgen likes his players that could fill in multiple positions. But a player that could do right and left back, that would be awesome. I know that they are not that easy to come by, at least to do them well. But again, I think that would help us out tremendously, just due to the fact that we actually burn players out, right? And we're seeing that this season. Okay. And I know I went from midfield to defense. Now we're going to do... let's touch on Alisson really quickly. I love Alisson, right? Everybody loves Alisson. I think he just, you know, you love his character. He seems like such a stand-up guy. You know, you love his presence. The guy's just huge. You also love Alisson's one thing, I at least do. I love his ball striking technique. Next time you watch Alisson, check him out. He has like almost this like golf club type of swipe through the ball. He can drive it in all directions. He's just awesome. But anyways, he has been prone to a couple of errors, like, you know, the classic, the Ollie Watkins versus Villa, where it'll just, that shot where it just squirmed underneath him a little bit, and you feel like, he's got to do a little bit better there, right? And he is still a world-class goalkeeper. I mean, if you ever get a chance, look at Alisson's individual accolades. You know, his Wikipedia page. This guy is decorated. I was watching a preview with a fan channel that I like, and it was some guys from Arsenal Fan TV, and they were, basically trying to insinuate that maybe Leno was close to Alisson's level because he made mistakes. And I'm like, that Leno will never be in the league of Alisson Becker. Let's just do that right there. Case closed. But he has been making a couple of little errors here and there, which are very frustrating because he makes world-class saves, but he's not often saving the easier ones. So I really hope he irons that out. I still, obviously, everybody loves Ali. You know, he's definitely just a great person behind the sticks. Plus, with the personal tragedy, you know, that he has suffered as well, you know, we don't have to get too much into that, but it hasn't been the best year for him in the high standards that he set for himself. The front three, I'm a big Bobby Firmino fan, always have been. I too, am the footballer that likes the assist more than the goal. You get what I mean? Like, I'm that guy on FIFA Pro Clubs that I have the goal, but that extra little pop chip through ball, you know what I mean? Or that slide rule reverse ball, I can give you that on the wing, and then, you know, you just score that nice, beautiful, picturesque goal. You know, like Arsenal used to play under Wenger before they forgot how to play football. But Firmino just hasn't been, he hasn't been that for about a year now, right? And I remember, I mean, I think people forgot, 17, 18 Firmino, he scored 20-plus goals. This guy was a menace, you know what I mean? Like, he scored 20, I believe it was 27 goals in all competitions on the 17-18 season. You know, but that incisive, quick movement, that pressing, that 1-2, that back heel, it just hasn't been coming off this season. And the truth of the matter is, if we don't have a consistent 9 next year, I don't know how we're going to operate, because we'll move on to the left, Sadio Mane. I mean, again, another one of my, I mean, all, you know, I'm a fan, right? So all these players are my favorites, but everybody loves Mane. Everybody loves Sadio Mane. But here we are looking at this player who looks like Sadio. You know, he sometimes he moves like Sadio, but I don't recognize this player. You know, I watched his past couple of games, and the amount of times where he's gotten the ball, made a good move, and then just dove into the man to try and buy the foul is astonishing. You know, the touch. Sadio Mane used to get the ball, drive at defenses, and absolutely have them on their heels. Sadio Mane will score a 40-yard pass from Virgil onto his chest in the Champions League away at Bayern Munich. Sadio Mane will score a back heel. Sadio Mane will jump up near post, head the ball. You know, he's not exhibiting that right now. And it is alarming, because with him and Firmino's form tailing off, much pressure is on, you know, we'll go over to the right-hand side, much pressure is on Salah. And thankfully for us, he's responded. And I mean, he's done everything that he can. Even in this second leg against Madrid, there was that time where he has the ball and he pauses, you know, instead of firing at the goal. And there's been moments with him as well where it just hasn't come off. You know, I'm worried about the amount of goals that we're scoring. I think that initially it was the defense that was worrying everyone, but now we're looking at our attack, because, you know, we all know during that stretch in Anfield, that 6 games where we didn't score, those games were hard to watch. They were extremely difficult to watch, you know? So there needs to be, I would love a traditional number 9 who gets the ball and immediately turns to face the goal. You know, like that type of number 9. The type of number 9 is like, oh, you know, I understand that I'm in a team, well, of course I'll pass, but I'm looking to score here. You know, I think that would do us so much good, just because Bobby, whether we go 4-2-3-1 next year and he plays in the 10, which I could see, you know, he just lacks that cutting edge and that incision. And that, you know, even to take the ball and, you know, there was a time where there was a play developing, I believe it was on the right wing, and he just picks the completely wrong pass today. The worst possible pass, you know? And I just, everybody wants the old Bobby Firmino back, but, I mean, my goodness, he's put in performances this year that makes you, you know, question, along with Sadio, if those old players are still there. So Jurgen's got a job to do. Really quickly, moving forward, I think that everything obviously has to go into the Premier League basket. Top four is still a possibility, although Chelsea, Leicester, you know, even Spurs we have to contend with. So nothing's guaranteed, but we're going to have to try and just keep winning, you know, keep winning and hope that we can secure top four, because without Champions League, all the players that might need replacing are going to be much harder to replace. You good people, take care. I'll see you on the next episode, where hopefully we're talking about something good, like a Liverpool victory. You'll never walk alone. This is Chima Chats Foot, episode 1. I'll see you next time.